faith in grace, aren't you? Without grace, there is no faith. Without faith, there's no reason to be here. But because of God, we're able to enjoy both grace, faith, and we know His mercy is new every day. As a matter of fact, the portion of Scripture that we're going to read today in verse 35, it says, "Great grace was upon them all." It's one of the things I know to be true in this room. Of all the things that I know is happening, grace be with you. That's a good thing. Grace is what helps our kids at school. Grace is what helps us on this journey of faith today. We're looking at Acts chapter 4, verse 32, and we're going to read down through verse 11 out of chapter 5. We're going to talk about two things. When we give, the Lord wants us to give cheerfully, not just dutifully. I do need to tell you, in here it's going to talk about the money that you have, the resources you have, God gave them to me. Or no, wait, back them up. God gave them to you. Are you taping this yet, Chris? Yeah. Oh, let's start over. No, God gave them to you, not to me. I better make sure you understand that. There was somebody I knew once said that everything I have is mine and everything you have is mine. That was their idea. You ever been with somebody like that, Ed? Don't bump Linda when it's... that's not how it is. Don't point when I come close. Don't point. And I was with somebody the other day and they ask him, "Who's your buddy?" And he goes, "I'm your buddy." He sits there and points to himself. That's pretty funny. But okay, you kind of get the point here? Everything you have comes from the Lord. Everything comes from above. And you can do with it whatever you want. But there are good things that you could do with what you have. I need you to know that. And what you do with it, God knows what you do with it, and He wants you to do cheerfully with it. All right? Let's read this, and you'll hear what we're talking about. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." That's our message. You need to know that message today, that Jesus was raised from the dead. He died to take away the sin of the world. That's our message. One of the ways we get that out is because of the resources that is provided through the free will offering. Aren't you glad we don't send you a tax bill from the church every year or every month or every week? Aren't you glad we don't withhold church tax out of your take home? I thought it'd be a good place for amen, but maybe we're on to something. Verse 33, "With great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them, brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. Now Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, was translated son of encouragement. A Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, brought the money, laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great, great fear came upon all those who heard these things, and the young men arose, wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet, breathed her last, and the young men came in, found her dead, carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. I guess it's a good thing I read this before we did, or after the offering, because I'd be a little bit concerned if you look at what you're giving and how you give it. But I know that God keeps a good accounting of what is happening. What God gives you is his grace, and everything you have is free. But the grace of God for salvation is evident in each life through the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And it begins with hearing the word, and saving faith comes to part because of the preaching of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christianity is confirmed by signs and wonders that support his witness that he is raised from the dead. Christ in you is not hard to prove, because he changes who you are and makes himself known in your life. The Holy Spirit has changed everything for the disciples. The value of possessions and property have been redefined. They understood clearly what Jesus meant when he said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Notice they didn't take one another's property. It wasn't saying that they were looking around for wallets and stuff that were unmanned and they were stealing money bags. That's not what they were doing. They were giving freely. There is a difference between socialism and Christianity. For me, socialism has an external and an economic goal. But for Christianity, it flows from your heart. You have a new heart and you give freely to one another. Another, knowing that you are in fact giving to the Lord. In socialism, the community becomes the sole proprietor. In Christianity, God is the sole proprietor. In socialism, it's created by and relies upon brute force. But Christianity is based upon the love of God and commands us to love each other. It is not taken from us by force. I'm convinced that the proper grip of the things to have in this world is loosely. Does that make sense? Hold it really loosely, so that sometimes we only hold it for but a moment. In the body of Christ, care is given for all as the Lord provides to each one. There's one heart, one soul, there's one body, and they give according to the need that is met. Think of the example Christ gives us, recorded in 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, and through his poverty might become rich. You understand what Christ gave up to come and be here? You understand where he spent the first night while he was on the planet? We celebrate that at Christmas, don't we? You ever slept in a barn? Yeah, I've slept in a barn a few times. And we slept in some strange places, haven't we? Under the trees. I think maybe the unique one was a night I paid a waitress to let me sleep in her bench at the diner. I was so tired, I said, wake me up and I'll pay you $20 for renting your booth. Because that way you don't have to bring me any food, just let me rent your bench. Because if I was sleeping there, nobody could come and sit at her station, right? So she wouldn't have made any money. And if she didn't wake me up, she didn't get the money. So I said, wake me up and I'll give you the $20. So I slept at the diner. You don't believe me, Alex? You're looking at me like a... You knew the waitress? No. Yeah, wherever, whatever needs to be. There is a distinction we find between want and need, between sufficiency and excess. The position of the church changes, but the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit are constant. In chapter 3, verse 6, we hear Peter saying this, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now we find out that people are bringing money, gold and silver, giving it to the apostles. But it's not to make the church rich, it is to meet the needs of the community. It is what they have to give, and they have the love of God. God may provide silver and gold to bring some relief from suffering, but they will not replace the signs and wonders and the blessing of God that flows through the Holy Spirit who empowers the church. This is an example of giving. We see that Barnabas, that they call him Barnabas. We don't even know. It's very seldom they refer to his real name of Joseph, perhaps, as it would be translated. We might say it today. When my Spanish brothers read it, they call his name was Jesus or Hosus. I can't even say it right. Josie. Jose? Did I get it right there? Jesus is different, right? That's, yeah. Jesus. Say it again. Jesus is Jesus. How do I say Josie? Jose? I got it right. Finally, I got it right. J-O-S-E-S. Jose. That's what they were saying. All right. We're going to edit this thing and just shut it off. It's just, man, oh man. All right. So this is better than being live. This is going to be fun. So here we are. The name of Jay was transferred over to Barnabas. So now Jay doesn't even get full credit for what he's doing. He's such an encourager. They call him Barnabas, son of encouragement. It's also known as an AKA. So here's a guy giving amazing gifts, and he doesn't even get credit for it because they say, you're just an encouragement. Because somewhere in there, his name and his titles lost in what he is giving to the blessed people within the community. And he wasn't doing it for notoriety, and they offered what he had. This is the example of giving. Generosity has always been a part of the church. It has always been a part of giving. And God blesses us, and it allows us to do more with less. God can do more with less than we could do if we had everything. As a matter of fact, James writes this down for us. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from above. Did you know there's good gifts and perfect gifts? Did you know there's a difference between a good gift and a perfect gift? Perfect gift is what really the granting the desire of your heart. Have you ever seen somebody receive the gift? It was just perfect. If something's good, you kind of make it fit, right? It's kind of like brake pads. They're good. But every once in a while you get one that's just perfect. It slides right on. And it doesn't bind and it works perfectly. The perfect gifts that come from above. Jay was a wealthy landowner, and he was able to give at the impulse of the Holy Spirit. He was able to give without reservation. He was able to give without the recognition, because giving is free will. It is devoted to God, and it's the same Holy Spirit who asked Barnabas to give that is asking us to give and to share what he is offering to us. There is a great power when we preach the gospel. It's not always felt by the speaker, but the purpose of God is always accomplished. And so we tell this story about giving. We tell the story about a generous man who shared the truth. And Isaiah says, So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the thing which for which I sent it. The effectiveness of the Holy Spirit knows no equal. If you go as a witness, this is the way Isaiah says that you get to go across this world. You shall go out with joy. You shall be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you. The trees of the field shall clap their hands. Isn't that amazing that nature and creation will enjoy you walking as a man of God or a woman of God or a child of God through those public school halls, that all of creation rejoices with those who go in the name of Jesus. And we find that in this truth, giving is a choice. It's either a blessing or a curse. There is an example here that we need to give, but not every person in the church is sincere in their giving. Ananias and Sapphira were willing to give, but only if they could get something better. They wanted recognition. They wanted a position. They were willing to give some of the wealth of the world to have the status in the church. And Jesus simply says, no servant can serve two masters. He will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Their plan, Ananias and Sapphira, their plan was to deceive the apostles. What we do, giving or deception, hypocrisy, it's all voluntary, isn't it? What we do is what we offer. Don't you want it to be real and sincere and giving from your heart? They were able to turn a blessing into a curse because they tried to give deceitfully. Do you understand that? The apostle says, what you have is yours. God gave it to you. It's yours. Enjoy it. But don't say you give your all if you didn't give your all. If you gave all, you can do it, but you don't do it for notoriety. Does that make sense? So our offerings are given free will. We're given cheerfully. You should give as much as you can, as much as you're able. And if you can't give, guess who knows that? You know how many times I pray, Lord, if they don't work, there's no tithe. Do you know what the tithe of zero is? Do you know what 10% of zero is? Still zero, isn't it? And so, again, when I'm praying for you and talking to the Lord, I say, Lord, even if they want to tithe, some of them are tithing. They're giving nothing. They get nothing. Does that help? So that's why we pray, Lord, help us to give. Help us to be generous. Help us to share. And I understand that when there is a dollar put in the offering plate, the dollar is not always the same value. Some people give their last dollar. And some people give a dollar because it's in their way. Get rid of that. Right? You understand it? Some of the largest offerings I ever received was at the nursing home when they saved their money so they could give to the church. But we begin to understand that what we are giving is unto the Lord. And James tells us in chapter 1, verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. God's not tempted to do something wrong. God is not tempted to do something evil. He overcomes evil with good. And so he gives to all. He gives perfect gifts. He gives in an abundance. But we see in this story that Satan can influence people's lives. And people are accountable for whom they serve. Ananias and Sapphira work together with Satan to defraud God of the cost of discipleship. They were trying to say, I am a good disciple. I too give everything except what I want to keep back. But I'm just not going to let that accept what I'm going to keep back be known. So they attempted to defraud God who knows everything. Ananias wanted to show that he was generous. The whole time he was coveting and he was lying, and he recruited his wife to engage in the conspiracy. So there was a problem, wasn't there? Be careful that you don't profess more than you are willing to give. And be careful that you don't use a double meaning to cover up the intent of manipulation. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. This is the time when the crops come in, isn't it? Sometimes I go to visit people and they give me zucchini and they give me some vegetables. Not sure what to do with them. I'll have to talk to you later about what I'm supposed to do with them. But they give me vegetables that come out of their garden. But I know they planted zucchini seeds. I know they planted cucumber seeds. I know they may have planted potatoes. And whatever you sow is what comes up. What are you planting in your spiritual garden? So the scripture's reminding us that we can give unto the Lord. We can give cheerfully. Whatever sows, that's what they're going to reap. And we found this in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19. And it says, the Lord hates six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. And it's amazing to me that Ananias and Sapphira were able in one event to cover this list except for one thing God hated. They were able to pull off six of the seven. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look? Check. A lying tongue? Check. Hands that shed innocent blood? I don't believe they put anybody to death, perhaps, but themselves. A heart that devised wicked plans? Yes. Feet that are swift in running to do evil? Yes. A false witness who speaks lies? Yes. One who sows discord among the brethren? Yes. Anytime you work in cooperation with the devil, you're sowing discord among the body, aren't you? Do you see? They accomplished six of those seven in one act. And they may have accomplished the other, shedding innocent blood, because they dropped dead. They may have been able to accomplish all seven things that God hates in one act. They wrapped it all up, and they were performing in the church. But what we do know is until their death, God was reaching out to them to save them. But when they confirmed the lie with a lie, then they have sealed their fate. Therefore, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven men. And you understand what Peter said when he said, you didn't lie to me, you just lied to the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians, Paul writes this to us, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So God wants us to live by faith, doesn't he? In the grace and the mercy that he gives to us. And he wants us to work in relationship so that God can speak to us about our giving and living patterns. Does that help? That's what we're talking about. What God has given to you, that's yours. But what you give to God, he will bless. He's already blessed you with it. There's something amazing about when we give God what he's given to us. Remember the little boy? Little boy gave 5 loaves, 2 fish. Who would have thought the propensity to give like that would have fed 5,000 men plus women and children? Do you see what happens when you give to the Lord? We collected this alabaster offering. We've been doing it now for, I believe it's close to 60 years. And we celebrated this year $100 million collected through the little bit that people give. Did you hear that? $100 million has put, and we gave out the papers last week. It told where that money was used, how many hospitals, how many schools, how many homes and churches that built. Isn't that amazing? God blesses whatever we give. Who would have thought that could happen? So we're asking you, again, give. Give what? Cheerfully. To whom? To God. For what purpose? For the purpose of the needs that are in our community of believers. So that's why we looked at this scripture. We're preaching in series. We're preaching in sequence. And God wants you to give generously because that's how he gives. Let's pray. Father, we say thank you for helping us to look at these words that are written so that we might become the examples that Barnabas was to the church community. Help us as we learn how to give. Help us knowing that we give only unto the Lord and that what we give to you will be blessed. So thank you for this message, for these listening ears, for helping us to understand why we receive offerings and why we give cheerfully and why we give unto the Lord. So grant us wisdom so that we might know how to invest every penny that is handed in to the church. And let us spend it wisely, but we give it to you so that it might be multiplied to meet the needs of the world. The needs are great, O God. There are many who are without jobs, many looking for housing, and I just pray that you would do what you do best, the impossible, and give strength to those who work. And we ask that you might help those who have jobs to find favor. And I pray that those who are afflicted would be healed quickly and able to work soon for your honor and glory. Before we say the final amen, is there someone I could pray for? Anybody just raise your hand. I might be praying. God bless you. See those hands? Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? We want to be praying. As I say this final amen, if you want me to pray with you around this altar before you go, the altars are open. I would pray for you that the Lord would meet that need before you leave. But I thank him for your presence and your careful attention. Lord Jesus, thanks for showing up here today to help us to look at the financial status of the church. And we know that you know how to bless us. But I pray that you would teach us how we might bless one another as you have blessed us, as we give cheerfully as unto the Lord. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.